Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I'd like to invite anybody of our young folks to come forward for the show and tell this morning. And we have a bonus pre-show and tell for everybody. So, I mean, the show and tell is for y'all too. This is just so that our young folks get to be part of the scripture reading this morning, but our pre-show and tell is sitting right next to Nancy Prophet. I'd like to introduce Amgad Biblawi. Amgad is our interim executive presbyter here on behalf of the Presbytery of Des Moines. He's joining us for worship this morning. And are you still able to stay for lunch as well?
Sure.
Excellent. Feed him soup later and talk to him. Don't just feed him soup. That would be awkward. Also talk to him. That's not awkward. I mean, it's fine if you just feed people soup. It's even better if you talk to them. He's a nice guy, I promise. All right. So our show and tell, our actual planned show and tell this morning also involves Nancy Prophet. This is, and you all know like exactly what this is because we also have pictures of you. Yeah, not on the screen this morning. So this is Dick and Nancy Prophet, and what are they doing?
They're donating food to DMOC Food Pantry.
Well, they're not donating food. Who's donating food?
Encouraging people to donate food.
There you go. Yes, they are encouraging people to donate food and money to DMARC at the Red Barrel campaign yesterday, right over there.
Yay!
Good work, everybody. So they were there at the same time that we were at, I and my kids, were at the Hy-Vee over on Jordan Creek. And we were, as you said, collecting food and money for DMARC. And my favorite person gave us money on the way into the store and gave us food on the way out of the store. So she gets bonus points. But asking for food at a grocery store, like, makes sense, right? Because that's where the food is. They just bought the food. And we even asked them when. We asked them before they bought the food, right? I'd say, hey, do you want to support the food pantry today? And people would be like, I haven't bought the food yet. And I said, that's perfect. This is great timing. Because now you can go in and buy food and then give it to me. Right? So as we invited people to give, one of the things we were doing was reminding them that they had enough to give, right? Even if they didn't yet own the food, if they were about to own the food, we invited them to recognize, hey, I probably have enough food, enough money, enough ability to share some of this food with our neighbors. And knowing that makes all the difference, right? Makes all the difference to think, oh, I actually do have enough that I can share. So today's scripture reading has two different stories, sort of. One story interrupts the other story, and they're both stories about healing. And so you're asking yourself, what does healing have to do with collecting food at Hy-Vee? Well, here's what it has to do. These stories sound like they're about healing, and really these stories are about the question, is there enough? Does Jesus have enough to share with everybody?
Yeah.
So that's the real... Elizabeth doesn't need to listen to the scripture reading. She already knows the answer. It is yes. Thank you. We're adjourned. But if you're interested in sticking around until the soup is ready and talk to Amgad later, Perry's going to stall for time.
The scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, chapter 5 of Mark, verses 21 through 34, found on page 48 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles, also on your screen. Please follow along as I read. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd had gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her so she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she says, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say who touched you?" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
I said that this story that Perry read for us is a story about healing, and it's a story about more than healing, or it's a story about the multiple ways in which we need healing. Actually, just like that opening hymn that we sang together is about the multiple ways in which we need healing. It begins with a verse about needing physical healing, which is, of course, the first way that we think about healing when we hear that word, but also talks about our need for healing of sin, that deep brokenness within us that is our lives not being lived in the way that God intends for us. Healing of minds and relationships and politics and neighborhoods and climate, these all cry out for God's healing. Jesus' story today is about healing, but Jesus points out that this story is about more than just healing. It's about the faith of this woman who made her way through the crowd to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, because she knew that even there was enough power to make her well. Now, I have to acknowledge that not every story has the kind of healing that we wish it had, at least not the kind of healing that we wish it had. Faith is not the same thing as a guarantee that God is going to deliver in the way that we want God to deliver in our lives or those lives that are close to us. When we lift up prayers in just a few minutes, we're going to pray for the healing of some who are near and dear to us, and we know that that healing doesn't always happen the way that we wish it would happen. I say that because of the way that Jesus phrased that. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And I want to be clear that I don't think this woman was lacking faith. Over those 12 years that she spent suffering from hemorrhages, before that moment when she finally could get her hand on the hem of Jesus' garment, the faith she exercised in the midst of that crowd sounds like desperation to me, her one last shot at getting this healing to happen. And that's her last desperate hope, that Jesus' healing power overflows so much that even his clothing has enough healing power for her. And it's for that Jesus turns and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Only there's another daughter in this story. There's a daughter who was in this story before that woman entered the story, the daughter of Jairus, and he had gone to Jesus and asked for healing for his daughter. earlier in that story. And that's where Jesus was going. He was on his way to her when this unnamed woman reached out and touched him in this crowd. And the scripture lesson resumes that story, beginning at verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Jesus was on his way there to the synagogue leader's house to heal his daughter, and this woman in the crowd came and accosted Jesus along the way and took so much of Jesus' time, taking that healing and then telling the entire story of everything that had happened to her. She took all of the time and the healing power that Jairus' daughter needed. And then they came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter died. What are you even doing with this teacher anymore?" And remember, Jairus had been standing there the entire time this whole thing happened. The whole time when Jesus felt the healing power leave him, when the woman was telling that whole story, I can only imagine that Jairus felt shock and anger and indignation at what had just happened to his daughter while he was working so hard to bring healing to her. The story begs the question, is there enough to go around? Is there really enough to go around? We know the right answer, but is there really enough to go around? While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord. Yes, there is enough. There is enough for Jesus to heal this insider family's future and to provide for this invisible woman's present need as well. When we think about our need for healing, it often seems like there is not enough to go around. When we think about physical healing, we find ourselves blaming every illness on bad choices that someone made somewhere in the past. And we can even use that understanding of cause and effect and skew it as a way to withhold compassion from those who are suffering, because clearly it's because of something that they did, whatever that is. More tangibly, we resign ourselves to the inequality that denies people the resources that they need in order to become and stay healthy, because we are just certain that there is not enough to truly provide for what everyone needs. In relationships and in politics, we imagine that only one side of an argument can possibly be right, and we can only really give our hearing to one side of the argument. In food and climate and work, we assume that there's not enough. And that leads us to hoard what we can get. And it leads us to hoard so much that we really don't leave enough for everyone. Just imagine how these parts of our lives would change if we realized that there is enough. If we stepped just a little bit farther out in faith that there is, that there could be enough. That is the point of the story. Even before we heard the story, we knew that that was going to be the point of the story. Jesus has enough. We may not be able to imagine how that is, but there it is. Faith lives into the reality that there's enough. It lives into the reality that there's enough by actually giving some of what we have to others, that is actually a testimony to the idea that there is enough. The woman on the road believed that there was enough, that there was so much healing power in Jesus that even his coat had the power to make her well. That even his coat had the power to make her well without taking away from the power Jesus needed to heal that dying girl he was on his way to find. And I imagine after that experience of healing, after Jesus blesses her and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," I imagine that woman following along, praying for the girl that Jesus is on his way to heal next. That's what healing looks like. That's what faith looks like. Jesus' own life reflects that same faith. The faith that God is so abundant that Jesus can give everything he has to the world, including his own power and his own mission to this church. When we participate in Jesus' mission, we are actually participating in that abundance that God has given through Jesus to the world. When we give what we have and share what we have with this world around us, we're not just being generous like good people, although that may also be true. We are actually bearing witness to who God is. When we give away what we have, we are bearing witness to who God is, that God is the source of all the abundance that we and our neighbors need. And so our generosity is actually a testimony to who God is. It's faithful to give something away in trust that God has enough for us as well. That's what we invited people to do when we stood beside those red barrels in the entrance to a grocery store yesterday. We said, "Hey, I bet God has given you enough so that you can share some of what you have with someone else, even before you've gone into the store to find out what it is you think you need today." Every year when we put our budget together, Covenant plans under our Mission in Action committee to give away some of what you haven't even given to the church yet. We plan to give some of that away because we trust that God provides everything that not only this congregation, but everything that our neighbors around us need. Every week when we share our gifts with this church, when we share our gifts elsewhere in the world, when we share our time and all of our energy and resources with the work of God in and through and beyond this congregation, we are testifying to God's abundance. That's the faith that I think Jesus is talking about today in this story that looks on the surface like it's about healing. It is about how much abundance God wants to share with this world. Let us pray. Oh God, you give us everything that we need and more. So give us faith to recognize your abundance and to respond in kind. Receive today our commitments to give and to share, trusting in you. Hear our prayers for healing and for transformation in our lives and in your world. for we trust that that is your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We're now going to have a moment for mission about the Super Bowl of Caring Sunday.
Good morning. I'm Caitlin, and this is McKenna. We're from your Covenant Youth Group. Next week is Super Bowl Sunday, and we are doing a can collection to benefit the DMARC food pantries across the metro area. This week, actually, our youth group will be working at the DMARC warehouse downtown to help them sort and organize donations.
Back to the Super Bowl, which is next Sunday, February 2nd. We encourage you to bring a canned good or two with you to church. We will be standing by the sanctuary entrance with a cart to collect your goods. We will also be collecting
monetary donations.
DMARC can buy 2 to 6 items, as much food with a dollar than we can at the grocery store. So please, as you plan your Super Bowl parties filled with Little Smokies and nacho cheese dip, let's remember our neighbors who might be hungry this season. Thank you, and go Chiefs.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.